Hi, I'm Benita Rockingham, and welcome to our third season of Holding It Together, a Mennonite Church USA Women in Leadership sponsored podcast. The views expressed on this podcast are my own and are not necessarily indicative of the views of MCUSA.
I believe in mutual aid.
I believe in nonviolence.
I believe in radical kindness.
I believe deeply in God's commitment to wholeness.
I believe in us. This season of Holding It Together, we are exploring and holding space for the beauty in our beliefs by hearing this I believe statements from folks across our denomination. As people of peace, we experience connection with one another through our core beliefs in following Jesus Christ, witnessing and living God's peace through pacifism, standing up against injustice, and living into God's call of continued transformation. In this season, we will hear how living into those beliefs shape other truths we hold and celebrate the movement of the Spirit working through us in the world. Today, I'm joined by my friend, Reverend Amy Zimbelman. Amy serves as the Conference Minister of Mountain States Mennonite Conference, supporting 17 churches and 3 Passion Ministries in Colorado and New Mexico. She has co-pastored a Mennonite church and worked in refugee resettlement for about a decade. Amy holds a Master of Divinity from Duke Divinity School and has also served in Zambia through Mennonite Central Committee and in South Dakota with Mennonite Voluntary Service. She and her husband live in Colorado and often get suckered into games of hide and seek or tag with their 2 young sons. Amy, thank you so much for joining us today, for being willing to share your This I Believe statement with us. I invite you to share it with us now.
Thank you so much for welcoming me to this podcast, Benita. So a core belief that came to my mind is a quote from the Talmud. And it says, "Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now, love mercy now, walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it." Justice, mercy, humility, these are virtues that have meant a lot to me through the years. I've worked towards them, I've failed quite a bit, and I keep trying to work towards them. So I'm just going to riff on this quote and how my life attempts to relate to it. So I've had a hunger for justice ever since I was 8 years old. My family was visiting my aunt and uncle who lived in Guatemala, and my aunt and uncle took us to meet a family who lived in a house made of scrap metal. And I didn't have language at the time like economic justice or class or privilege or even white savior complex. All I knew was that it wasn't okay that I am doing fine and this family is telling me about their struggle to have enough to eat. I felt deeply the injustice of it. So I did what I could do. I redistributed wealth by giving them my Christmas money, $20, and I tried to explain all this to my fellow third graders. For some reason, no one in my class seemed to care. As an adult, in the justice work I've done, especially in refugee resettlement, I learned that I am forever in recovery from my white savior complex, but I still do feel led to seek justice. I appreciate the words of Australian Aboriginal Leela Watson, who says, "If you have come here to help me, you are wasting your time. But if you have come because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let us work together." And it was in my early 20s that I started appreciating the inextricable interconnectedness between justice and peace. So you can't really have one without the other. I met peace activists while studying abroad in the Middle East, which drew me to the Peace Church and the Anabaptist way of following Jesus. So speaking of which, Anabaptists are a good segue to humility, the virtue I want to talk about next. I have shall we say, an interesting relationship with humility. Humility language can be used as a weapon against people, of course. For instance, women are sometimes told to be humble when they're really just acting with confidence. Brené Brown talks about the three main lies that society tells women. Be pretty, be nice, be small, right? Be small literally and figuratively. That's where your value lies, ladies. That's the lie, right? And I've had this humility language, be nice, be small, turned against me before. A few years back, I was co-pastoring a church that had some wonderfully lovely folks there, and also a leader who was really abusive to me on a lot of levels, verbal, financial, sexual harassment, who's actually a pretty scary dude. And even though I reported his behavior a lot, it continued for a couple years. At one point, leaders told me in a job review to be nicer. So I asked them, wait, is this in general? Like, am I a mean person? Or is this just about that one guy? And they said, oh no, it's just about that one guy. And I said, wow, I've been nothing but respectful to him. I've never yelled back when he's yelled at me. And I just keep getting abused. I don't think this is actually about my behavior. Right? So that language of niceness, humility can be used against women and others to encourage them to continue putting up with abuse. And that abuse really took a toll on my physical and mental health and my family's health. So now that I have a different ministry role and I really love it, and I'm not under the leadership of someone mistreating me, I wanted to study women in ministry, in part to find out if I was alone or not. So another researcher, Elizabeth and I, found each other, and we learned that after an 18-month study that I am not alone in my experience of both loving ministry and my experience of being mistreated in ministry. There do need to be more protections for marginalized folks in our MCUSA churches. I am convinced that we can do better. So if humility gets used as a weapon, what does the actual virtue look like? So you have to watch out around me because this is going the preaching route. So there are those rich young rulers out there, of course, who when they meet Jesus, his prescription for their soul is, man, you got to come down a notch, right? You got to get rid of some stuff. You can't get an accurate view of yourself or God from way up there with your wealth and power obscuring everything. And then there's the woman with the flow of blood. When she meets Jesus, she reaches out not to give up power, but essentially to steal power. It's such a cool story. She takes what she needs for her own healing and liberation. She does not even wait for permission from Jesus. That is not what women were supposed to be like back then, or now even, right? So I would argue that this is what the virtue of humility could look like too. Humility has nothing to do with groveling or being small or quote unquote nice enough to accept injustice. No, it has everything to do with seeing one's self as a beloved child of God. No more, no less. No God complex or white savior complex. And on the other end, no groveling or condoning abuse. Stanley Hauerwas says that the opposite of humility is not necessarily pride. The opposite of humility is insecurity. Insecurity makes you have to prove yourself or push others down or things like that. Whereas with humility, you have the confidence of who you are. Isn't that beautiful? And I would say the infrastructure of all this, or the paved road that enables other virtues to have a smoother ride, would be kindness. So when I think of kindness, I think of the Gottman Institute. They do sociological studies on love and relationships, and they learned that these small kindnesses are vital. So they studied how newlyweds talked to each other. When one person would try to get the other's attention, there are some options of how to respond, right? So you could turn towards, which would just be a positive acknowledgement. Hey, honey, this is an interesting article. Oh yeah, tell me about it, right? Turning towards. As opposed to ignoring your partner or turning against and saying something like, ugh, can't you see I'm trying to work, right? That negative feedback. So in one study, the couples who stayed together after 6 years turned toward each other as newlyweds. They had those positive acknowledgments 86% of the time. Whereas the couples who got divorced only turned toward each other 33% of the time. 86% versus 33%. So those small kindnesses turn out to be a key to relationships. And it's not just in marriage, right? It's with your friends, your kids, your coworkers, partners, whoever. I don't know about you, but those people closest to me, my kids, my husband Matt, can sometimes be the hardest ones to be kind to. And yet apparently those everyday kindnesses keep our closest relationships healthier. And that radiates out into our work in the world and enables other virtues. So I could say more. I can always say more, probably because I don't have the humility thing down pat. But I want to end by reading the quote one more time. My hope is that you, the listener, can find something beautiful about it for your life, even as this is a time in the world when there is plenty of grieving. Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love, mercy, or kindness now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it.
Amy, thank you so much for sharing so vulnerably both the deep, painful, absolutely unjust experiences of abuse and harm, and the childhood eye-opening moments that you had. I am holding you deep in love, standing with you in solidarity, and leaning into the challenge you shared with all of us. This episode was produced by me, Benita Rockingham, with editing help from Alex Woodring and music by my dear friend Redfa Jan Titi Halawa. Holding It Together is a joint production of Women in Leadership and MCUSA. Look for us on our page on the MCUSA website, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast streaming site. I'm your host, Benita Rockingham. Thanks for listening, y'all, and catch you next time on the flip side.